Last month, writer Amanda Davis died in a small plane crash. Her first novel, Wonder When You'll Miss Me, was just published, and Davis had arranged for her parents to fly her around on a low-budget publicity tour. Her father was at the controls when the plane went down in the mountains of western North Carolina. There were no survivors. Commentator Touré has this appreciation.
I met Amanda Davis years ago at Breadloaf, the Vermont Writers' Conference. I'm not one to make friends easily, but Amanda was an exuberant mama bear with great curly hair and a magnetic charisma. The first time I saw her, we became friends. Just looking at her, you knew you could trust her with secrets. She considered herself a Southern writer, but she'd lived in North Carolina, Sweden, Brooklyn, and finally in Oakland, where she taught writing at Mills College. And she'd always been the girl in school who could fit in with every clique. On the McSweeney's website, her best friend, novelist Heidi Julewitz, called her a vicious sweetheart. Dave Eggers wrote that if Volkswagen had an ideal Beetle owner in mind, it was Amanda. She had one in blue with a flower in the dashboard. In 1999, Amanda published a short story collection called Circling the Drain. On Friday, March 14th, she died in a plane crash just days after publishing her first novel, Wonder When You'll Miss Me. She was 32. In her work, Amanda had the calm tone and precise eye of a Southern writer. She once said she wrote for anyone who's ever had body image issues. Her major character was a thin 16-year-old named Faith Druckle, who used to be fat and now must endure the never-ending pessimism of an imaginary so-called friend named the Fat Girl. The Fat Girl was Amanda's alter ego and the representation of the fear of one's inability to change and the weight of a girl's weight on her personality. The pair first appeared in her short story, Faith, or Tips for the Successful Young Lady. The Fat Girl speaks the truth. There are all kinds of anger, she says. Some kinds are just more useful than others. We talk a lot, though no one except me sees her. She stands there sucking on a fudgicle like the day is blissful and warm, but I'm freezing. I am not angry, I tell her, though it's not really true. She smiles. Saying you're not angry is one kind, she says. Not very useful at all, though. We are outside in the early fall day. School began 3 weeks ago, and I am carefully watching the crowd file by. The fat girl says, Faith, don't get your hopes up. Sweetie, that is never going to work out. She's talking about Tony Giambombera, who has dark curly hair all over his body and smiles with his mouth but not with his eyes, who walks slowly like a man with a secret. I say, you never know. She says, actually, I do know. Then she sucks off a big piece of chocolate. 4 days after her death, a long-planned reading of her novel at a Barnes & Noble in New York went on, with heavy hearts and a funereal mood, less a reading than a wake. Four of Amanda's friends read in her place, their voices breaking with tears. Usually a packed reading for a first-time novelist is filled with the air of promise. But this one was just empty.
Commentator Touré. His latest book is The Portable Promised Land.